What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of You're on the List. We got a great one today. We're here at the Brody Stevens Podcast Studio at the All Things Comedy Network. In studio with me right now, the great Ian Edwards. In studio, we're so lucky to have you. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I live 5 minutes from here. Not that lucky.
All right. We just caught him on the way home, so I didn't realize you live so close.
I actually sleep in the thing sometimes upstairs.
Really?
They don't even know yet. I just basically came downstairs.
Yeah, you you have your own key.
There's a lot of noise being made. I woke up. I came down.
You came down for the podcast. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming down and checking the fridge and stopping by.
And you caught me checking the fridge.
Right, exactly.
Oh, shit, yeah, 4:30. Yes, do it.
And on the phone, I believe in Ohio at home, we have the great Brett Ernst. Brett Ernst, what's going on, buddy?
Hey guys, what's good? Ian, what's up, man?
What's up,
fam? Just stop by on the way home?
Yeah, basically. You know, this is easy to do.
Ian, you used to see Brett all the time at the Comedy Store. How has your life changed now that Brett's moved to Ohio?
It's not as loud.
Right. There's no one like trying to like be the siren to keep you in the parking lot until 4:30 in the morning.
Well, I hear
with circular
less,
arguments.
I hear less offensive things about my mama.
That's true.
Since he left. Yeah.
So yeah, is your snapping game kind of fallen off because you don't have as much practice as it used to be?
Do you remember when we used to have the
text group
that list on what? Yeah, BlackBerry is like me, you, D'Elia, Freddie Lockhart.
Oh yeah, that was lit.
It was and Eric Christian. It was like it was your mom's pussy, and then we would have jokes about it.
Yeah, we used to have a text group that was funny as fire. Yeah.
One time I got I was getting heckled by some fucking hacky dude in Arizona, and he made a mama joke, and I said, "Dude, your shit's corny." So I said, "You know what? I read all the mom jokes."
Oh damn! You
and I was like, "Here's what Ian Edwards says about your mom."
That's hilarious.
Here's what Chris D'Elia says about your mom.
That's hilarious.
And I just shit on him with everybody's jokes.
That's hilarious.
But mine.
That's hilarious. Now some dude wants to kill me, and I don't know why. Now I know why.
Exactly.
Those people are angry at me, but he deserved it. So fine. Yeah, there's so many lost jokes in that. In our phones,
dude. It was like 2 years of jokes.
Yeah, yeah, because we were relentless.
Ian, by the way, I don't think anybody's ever been mad at you. Who the fuck can get mad at you? You're like the nicest dude on the planet.
Nah, people can get mad at anybody, man. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah,
it's like you and Steve Simone.
Yeah, you know, dude.
If anybody had a problem with you, or
I'm
Steve
angry
Simone,
at Steve Simone. I'm angry at Steve Simone. You tell that motherfucker when I see him.
Dude, it's true. It's like Ian has it, you know, you have that sort of Simone level reputation of being a nice guy.
You just have to be lazy.
Yeah.
People just think you're a nice guy.
Right.
Just have to be chill.
Like, dude, I was telling Steve Brett the other day, no joke, and he thought I was joking when I texted him this. Uh-huh. I had a dream that I was with Steve Simone and he had a burrito and he offered me a bite of this burrito and I started eating it and then I looked down and I realized it's almost done and he was like really cool about it. I was like, oh my God, dude, I almost ate your whole burrito. He's like, it's all right, man. Don't worry about it. He's like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll order you another one. So I texted him. I go, hey, man, I had a dream that I finished your burrito and you're really cool about it. And he thought it was a joke. So I saw him at the ice house the next night. I go, buddy, I really had a dream about you. And I go, dude, you're such a nice guy that even in my dreams,
right.
Like you were just,
like,
he was just totally cool about it. You know, like your brain is capable of anything. He could have been, you know, I could have made him be anything. But he's such a nice guy that even in my dream world, he has no problems.
I interpret dreams, and that means you're just going to take advantage of him later on in real life.
Yeah,
I'm setting him up for the big take.
You're going to say it turned into a dick.
Yeah.
Well, dude, because we have Ian on, I mean, I'm not going to get into the list right now, but obviously this is going to be a soccer-related list. Mm-hmm. Ian Edwards, known, you have the Soccer Comic Podcast. Mm-hmm. You are a fan of Man United, which is one of the most storied teams in the Premiership in England. Mm-hmm. And you also have – I want to talk about – because I saw a clip that you posted today. I want to talk about Ideas Not Worth Spreading. Uh-huh. Your new special, it's going to be coming out July 12th.
Yeah, it's called Ian Talk. They kind of like That's just like the log line.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the special is Ian Talk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's your version of a TED Talk.
Yeah.
Right. And the trailer looks amazing.
Thanks.
So, dude, I just wanted to ask you. So when you shot it, like when Brett shot his special, he just did one. Mm-hmm. Did you do two?
Did two
back to back?
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you shoot it?
At the Beverly O'Neill Theater in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just talk a little bit about the process of, after you shot it. I mean, I'm sure you were involved in the editing and all that stuff. Tell me a little bit about that.
So they sent me a link. The editor does the first pass. And they used most of the stuff from, and we had a really good editor. He's been involved in some world-class shit.
Yeah.
Bijan, and he kind of like helped me a lot through the editing process. So, and he edited the Chappelle Show, and I was surprised that we could get him, that he was available. And I'm glad we tried. I was like, we ain't going to get this dude.
Yeah.
But then, they used the second show. But I liked the first show better, my performance. So then sort of the first cut, we switched back to the first show and we used mostly that and cutaways from the second show.
Oh, okay.
And then, he understood just the comedy of it and everything. And there's different parts that, with the director, Aristotle Theories, who's another comic.
Oh, yeah.
Did Goatface and stuff that.
Yeah, I know Aristotle.
You know Aristotle, right? Yeah. So he directed it.
Yeah, yeah. He's a funny cat.
Yeah, he's a funny
dude. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because he did Goatface for Comedy Central.
And he killed that. It was amazing.
And he directed that and performed in it and wrote it.
Yeah.
So, and we've been friends for a minute. So me and him were going to shoot this special regardless. And we were getting ready to and prepping it. And then Bill hit me up and my agency at the time. And they said, hey.
Well, I'll tell you this, Ian. Mm-hmm. It was long overdue, man. It was long overdue, bro.
Yeah, thanks, brother. And me and you used to talk about our specials in the parking lot.
Watched it. Mm-hmm. There's like five comics that I said once America really knows about.
Right.
It's gonna be tremendous. And you're always mentioning that, man. So I can't wait. Bro. I can't wait for people to see you, dog.
Thanks, man. Me too, man. I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? I want people to see it. And here's the funny thing about you want a special. But then now, with so many specials out, like back in the day, if you got a special, you were sure people were going to see it.
Yeah, it was literally special.
Special.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then make a decision then. Now, I'm like, are they going to see it? You know what I mean?
Right.
So now that the hurdle of getting a special has been jumped, now the next hurdle is, how do we cut through all the noise that's out there, all the choices, and get people to see it?
I know this is kind of a... go on, Brett.
Well, the good news is that right now you've got about 8 people watching you live.
Right.
They're going to see you in that headlock.
Yeah,
they're going to see you in that headlock.
You're already crushing these numbers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good. See what I'm talking about? See what the problem is?
So, buddy, I just want to ask you this. I mean, this might be a tough one to answer, but...
Super Brett.
If you can, kind of describe sort of your headspace now, because now I imagine it is kind of a new, like almost like a new stress, the idea, before the special's coming out, I just saw a map of the billboards that are going to be all over LA with your face on it, which, right. I mean, that's always good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. But yeah, at some point you have to realize like this is out of your hands, right? You've done the work.
Life is out of your hands,
right.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, so you just do the things you can
do. And you
know
what else is out of your hands?
What?
It's Pete's hair. Jesus, it looks like it's eating a headphone.
Yeah, dude. You can see me.
Who's your hairdresser? Your hair is like a good ad for whoever does your hair.
Yeah, it's insane. I am.
Jesus Christ.
The best was the comment last week. Some guy said that I don't have good hair. It's my hair has a Pete.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's its own entity.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Your hair, you're lucky your hair chose you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Everyone's like, how do you keep it up? It's just other hair. It's just I have a lot of hair on my head. I don't know how else to explain it.
Damn, son.
That's
some good ass hair.
That's some good ass hair, man. Yeah. That's some good ass hair. So, dude, do you shave your head? If you let it grow, how much hair would you have?
It'll probably be patchy. I just shave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a minute.
Yeah.
And I don't use a razor. Use electric. I don't know why people use razors to cut your scalp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can use an electric,
you can get a razor trimmer, that close.
Trimmer, yeah.
And that's insane.
Just the, you know, the shit you use in the barbing shop.
The
liner.
Yeah.
Just do that.
That's some real stuff right there. We're
covering a lot of stuff.
Janine Powers checking in. She says, not a fan of sports, but love the glasses, Ian.
Oh, thank you.
So I just wanted to talk about what we're going to be doing today on this podcast. We got a soccer podcast, and we, you know, having Ian on, mm-hmm. I want to talk to you a little bit about soccer. You're a fan, football, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
How did you start? Like, where did that come from? That you became a fan? And because in America, you know, it's mm-hmm. a most popular youth sport, mm-hmm. but not as many people follow it like you do.
I know it's frowned upon.
Did you make it? Yeah. It's blood. That yeah. and Shrek.
Yeah. Well, it's frowned upon to be like soccer in America. And like Brett said, I moved from Jamaica to here, but before that I was born in England, then we moved to Jamaica. And when I moved to America, like, even gay people, like, I can't beat me up for liking soccer. You know what I'm saying? That's how low yeah. down on the totem pole
yeah.
soccer was. Like, it would embolden.
What year was that, Ian?
No, we're just not going to get into years, Brett. You know yeah. what I'm saying? We're just going to just.
The gays attacked Ian during the Stonewall riots.
Then it gets into a whole age thing, and we're not going to do that today, Brett.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
So let me ask you. So where in England, Ian, were you born?
In London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we used to play during recess soccer in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's England's, to me, biggest sport.
Yeah.
Cricket is there too, but I'm not feeling
it's England's.
Like,
I mean, it's, I would say, because, I mean, I've been to England several times. I actually lived in North London for a while.
Oh, you did?
And when Arsenal would play, you could hear the
fuck you, Pete.
You know what, Brett? Thank you. Because I was going to say, this motherfucker. But go ahead.
No, man. But so we would be able to hear the crowds at, was it Highbury, I guess, is where they play, right? And
That's where they used to play. Yeah.
But you'd be able to hear, you know, the crowds. My point is, it's a religion in England.
Yeah.
I visited the Liverpool Stadium. My buddy's dad used to play semi-pro for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah? What was his name?
His name is David Ellis. He never made it, you know, past that semi-pro level.
But still pretty good.
Played in Liverpool.
Yeah. And buddy, I hosted a show over in Liverpool, buddy.
I did not MC a show
right
there.
Manchester United, buddy.
Brett, I'm not even going to ask him.
Get out of here with that.
I'm not even going to ask him why he was in England. That's how vindictive I am. Like, normally that would come up next, but I'm not going to make this about him like he wants to. Set us up. I'm going the other way, bro.
No, but
What were you doing in England, T?
I was studying.
Why were you living there?
I was studying abroad, and then I was working at a PR firm, and then I was doing really well at that PR firm, so they just let me stay there. So they wanted me to kind of, like, I had to get like a work visa and everything.
So you want us to believe that you were studying?
Yeah, I wasn't. All right, bro.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here. Like, your shitty fucking college that Butch Bradley and Steve Z went to.
But I've been to, so my best friend that I grew up, his name is Trevor, and he plays, you know, his family's from England. So I, uh-huh. growing up, I would make these trips to England.
Uh-huh.
And we went to Liverpool one time. And we got to tour like the stadium, or what's Liverpool called?
Anfield.
Yeah, Anfield's the holy grounds, yeah. right? You shall never walk alone, all that.
Yeah.
Walked, you know, took pictures at the gate, whatever. Anyway, because his dad played semi-pro, they let him in. Mm-hmm. And we just were walking around the grounds, and there was a gift, you know, like a little gift shop. And it was not a match day or anything, so the place was dead.
Right.
But we dipped into the shop, and I remember there was like this like 6-year-old girl. And she's pointing at the team photo, mm-hmm. and she was like, "That's Robbie Fowler." That's mm-hmm. and she was just going down the line, right. and she knew every single player's name by right. you know, and she was like 5 or something.
Yeah.
That's a religion, you know. Soccer is like mm-hmm. in the blood of English people.
Yeah, I mean, like,
no, actually, Pete, Protestant is the religion of England. And number one, number two, I am very impressed about your little references and stuff. And you're right. I can vouch that Trevor is from England and you guys are good friends. So I'll vouch for that one.
Yeah. All right. I'm still mad at him, though.
You're still mad. Dude, no joke.
Can we do that? Can we still be pissed?
Dude, so the next day, though, because we stayed in Liverpool for a couple of days,
uh-huh.
we're walking through Liverpool because he wanted to show us like where he grew up, because he grew up kind of in a rough area of Liverpool.
Trevor?
Trevor's dad was showing us, right? And we're walking around, and like, I was getting looks from people, and I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, Mr. Ellis, what's going on? And he said, we got to go into the store real quick and buy you a shirt. And I said, why? And he goes, you're wearing the wrong color, because that was a game day.
Right.
I was wearing a blue shirt, and that day they were playing Everton. Liverpool, Brett, their colors are red.
It's a Merseyside derby.
Yeah,
you don't want to fuck around like that.
No. Dude, yeah. not even kidding me. He made me go into his store and buy a different color T-shirt.
I remember just taking trips back to England to do shows, and I would just grab – this is before they showed the Premiership on TV in America, and I got to choose a side.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm back in England. I was born there. Hadn't been there in a minute. And I'm like, oh, let me grab some, just get any good looking shirt and put it on. And I was in a part of London, staying there for a few days. And, so I got verbally accosted by some people who was not feeling the shirt that I had on at the time from across the street. I said, oh, shit, this is like walking in different gang territory.
Yes.
Exactly. And, people do take football serious to the point that their stabbings of people, especially back then, did get stomped out. And even when teams travel, to these countries to play other teams, there's fights in town squares and mini riots and shit like that.
Yeah.
They
call them hooligans,
those fucking hooligans.
But,
yeah,
dude, it can get scary.
Yeah,
because I've seen some stuff where I was like, oh, man, I got to stay away from that, to where, especially before and after a match. Because sometimes before a match, like, the fans will all walk to the grounds together, and it's like a big,
Police coordinated now.
Yeah.
Just for the safety of everyone, yeah.
It's got to be. So talk about...
The other sport you mentioned is cricket, and that's just, I don't get that, man. Games are like fucking 2 weeks long.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a layover in the middle of the game. You're like, what are we doing?
Normally, I like lazy shit, but not that lazy.
Yeah, that's slow.
Yeah, a game that takes 2 weeks long, fuck that, bro.
Dude, at halftime, they have fucking tea. No bullshit.
Halftime is Monday.
Yeah, halftime is an entire day.
Yeah.
You can just, take care of some stuff around the house, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Fucking run errands. You're running errands.
Ian, I wanted to ask you, if you can describe to any listeners that have never been to a Premiership game or a football match in England, that experience.
It's pretty cool and pretty safe now. It's just that, like, if you're from the opposing team, like, I think they organize it so that the entrance is separate.
Right.
And the way you get transported there on the buses or the trains or stuff like that, you come in all together.
Right.
It's I guess the teams have fan organizations that organize the trips, and there's a certain amount of tickets. And so I think it's all organized. I don't know completely, but it's organized. I've been to games where the fans were held from the opposing teams were held off. Or let out first, or wait until other team. And then they're in between a gauntlet of like police and security, so they can get back to their vehicles and shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So that there's no shit. There's a less chance for shit to go down.
Right.
But you can be on a train full of Chelsea fans. Like, there was a video of somebody who wasn't involved in football getting on a train full of like drunk Chelsea fans. And who are singing and chanting.
Yeah.
And they realize that this person is not only in, and I think the fans were kind of racist too. And there's a problem.
That's insane. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was on the first season of Chelsea Handlers, and they are just not good fans.
Hilarious. Hilarious. So you agree with me. Cool.
Brett, do you know much about the English Premiership League at all?
No, I played soccer. I was a goalie when I was younger.
Hilarious.
And,
no wonder you hate it.
And when I was in Little League.
Yeah, you're just a target.
No, I was a good goalie, man. I enjoy playing it. I just got caught up in real football, American football. Wow.
Well, I think, buddy.
Oh, the football with your hands?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. The football that you play with your hands? Yeah, the real football, yeah.
Football doesn't involve any feet except for kicking. Yeah. Occasionally.
Yeah, one guy.
Yeah, one guy. Ball. One guy makes a football team in America.
You stole the name football the way you stole the country.
just asked no questions and took it.
We want this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Brett,
you know what? You guys can give it back if you want. You can give up your little slice.
Of what? Football?
of the country.
Of what, America? We don't have anything.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I was gonna tell you, Brett. I think one aspect of the premiership that I think you would dig is that, and I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, but the bottom two teams that are in the premiership,
the bottom three teams
that are in the premiership, right? They get dropped down to the league below them, and the top three of the league below them get put into the premiership.
Yeah. Every season.
Did you follow that?
Yeah, I just wish it was like that in comedy.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It makes some people try harder. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get people trying harder.
I watched the girls' soccer team today. 2-1 over France.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Dude, I love him, man. I've been tweeting about him. I'm not a virtue signaling guy, but damn it, they deserve some respect, and they should be paid more money than the fucking men's team.
Yeah,
men's team act like they don't even want to be there, man.
No, that's not true. Like, we're harder on the men's team. Like, the women, they're doing great, right? But if it's all about, like, do you consider me a really good comic? I was taking
that was a long time to answer.
Well, do you consider yourself?
Of course I do.
Yeah, but
of course.
But I have to work my way to get. I have to make work to get paid as much as the guys, as the guys or women who make more than me. You feel me?
Like, Ian, we didn't even qualify last time, and our girls are defending champions, and they play their asses off.
There's countries.
Brett, I don't know, man. I just think that, you know, of course, men's team is a better, you know, it's going to be held to a higher standard because it's more competitive. But everything's relative, man. And our girls have been kicking ass for fucking years. I mean, it's like the third or fourth. Didn't they go to the finals?
I think they won. I think they won two World Cups, right?
Yeah.
I think the women won two World Cups.
Yeah,
but. It's what the sport generates financially. I think that's based on what it is. It's like you'll pay more to see some teenager will pay more to see Ariana Grande than another female singer like Billie Eilish or something like that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So you can't be like Billie Eilish should get the same as Ariana Grande or Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what are you generating? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't pay.
Well, you know, I looked this
but
up.
But let me finish.
You would know better than me.
Well, no, I know. I could also learn some stuff from you, too. But I just wanted to say this based on something you said earlier. And then, listen, the men have been playing longer. You know what I mean? Like, they've built the sport up longer. The women's game is newer. So it also wouldn't be fair for less work to be put in, and then you get the same amount as the guys' league that kind of set the tone for building soccer
I say you have to factor in those things too.
And I think people just look at the results. And another thing you said, like, England has won a World Cup, but they've also not qualified for World Cups.
Yeah.
There's countries, Italy, I think, failed to qualify for World Cups, and they've won three.
Yeah,
and so it happens.
World Cup.
Yeah, it happens to the best of teams.
Yeah. Italy didn't make it last year, and England just eats shit in the World Cup most of the time. And they're a great.
I think I'm still bitter because I bought all my shit the last World Cup, and we didn't even make it.
Did you really? did you buy some? You bought some U.S. soccer gear, Brett?
Couldn't even wear it.
I get into the World Cup, man. My first team, obviously, America. Second is Italy.
Right.
And then third would be Canada.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like America, Italy, and Spain.
Yeah, I'm England, Jamaica, America.
And I like Argentina, too. I out of the South American teams, I like Argentina over Brazil. But Brazil's so fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those guys.
Brazil's just, they're the world's team.
Oh, yeah.
So when all bets are off. And your shit ain't in there, team ain't in there, you just root for Brazil.
It's so amazing. I mean, like, the ball just sticks to their feet. They could do anything with it. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's because a lot of the players that grew up in poverty and they're playing, you know, barefoot with like a ball made out of like rubber bands or some shit. You know, it's not like a proper shape. And they're playing in the sand, And when you finally grow up and like you're playing on a real pitch, your ball control is that much better because you've learned to, you know, play in you know, squalor essentially.
Yeah, street ball might help. I mean, but it's just, it's weird. It's like you can say that, but then there's great European players too. And there's poverty in Europe too.
Oh yeah.
You know, but it's just, yeah.
Of course there is. You know, I was going to say too, man, watching the girls today, I mean, they just, they are exciting, bro. They really are, man.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I get what you're saying. Without the men's team, there's no female team.
Yeah.
But they've gone above and beyond. And I don't know, man. Like, a lot of people didn't even know they fucking played today.
I did.
You know what I mean?
I've watched pretty much all of the females World Cup.
You know the whole thing. I'm saying it's not like normal, you know, it's not like if the men were playing. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I feel you. Yeah, but, you know.
I just think they get disrespected, man.
I mean, it's all marketing too. It's like, where's the like I watch it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But some companies only going to put a limited amount of money into it because they're not going to get the return for it,
right?
You know what I mean? So that's the issue, you know?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
I think.
But you know, first of all, I mean, women's soccer is, I can tell you this, at the college level, the girls fucking play harder than a lot of the guys did.
I wouldn't say that. Like, I just wouldn't even diss guys like that either. I don't think so. Those guys want to make it to the pros. They're playing hard. I think both groups are busting their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just seen some college level soccer women that are just like,
going by the colleges and looking at girls' legs.
I just noticed hair pulling.
He only goes to see girls play in shorts. He's never going to see the guys.
Right.
I think when it comes to only one sport, like, all right, so watching women's soccer, watching men's soccer, it's they're both still exciting because it's relative. It's the same thing with watching women fight. Like, UFC fights are just as good to me. It's its own thing. Women's track and field is fucking great, but I can't get into WNBA because, you know, the level of play is just so different. It's two different games.
Yeah,
you know,
I actually
it's like watching the it's like watching white guys in the 20s and 30s play basketball.
Just lots of and layups and people, you know, falling down.
A lot of female George Mikans out there.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know, we had mentioned, Ian, that Manchester United is your favorite team. That's a team that you support.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other, you know, respectable clubs? First of all, what makes Manchester United so great? Why is that the team that you support?
So when first there was they didn't show the Premiership here. And I think Fox had a sports channel and they were just trying to build it up. And just like when ESPN first had their sports channel, they used to put in Login and cheerleader contest and the chess contest and all that shit. Like, I think Fox had to find their version of that. So then they started showing Premiership and just European soccer highlights and South American. And then they started actually showing games.
Yeah.
And then once they started showing games, I used to just watch all of it. And then slowly but surely, you know, organically, some team becomes your favorite because of their story.
Right.
And at the time, it was like, you know, Man U had the class of 92, which was Beckham and Scholes and Giggs. And I think the Neville brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nicky Butt was in there too. And so they had these guys that came from the academy, which is rare because a lot of soccer teams, they use one or two academy players that make it. But they buy players. But these are guys. Kids that were kind of homegrown,
right? They worked for it through the system, basically.
Through the system, and they played fucking hard.
Yep.
And they were gifted technically.
Yeah,
and they had a storied coach, Alex Ferguson.
Yeah,
and just the heart of the team. A lot of games, important games, they won at the last minute after being down.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, these motherfuckers don't give up. It's like a metaphor for life. Like,
yeah,
don't give up. Just keep going as long as there's time on the clock. And there's just they won the treble.
Yep.
And they won that last minute in extra time when they were down 1-0. You know what I mean? And they scored a goal to tie it to get to extra time, and then they scored the winning goals.
How long was Ferguson managing?
I think 27 years.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, he's a lifer.
Yeah.
Have you been? Yeah. I imagine you've been to a game at Old Trafford.
Yeah, yeah.
Describe that, because I've been to one. I'm going to tell my story real quick, but tell me a little bit about.
No, you tell your first.
all right.
tell your little story,
because I think you'll appreciate
about
this.
When you was living in England, London.
This was I was visiting, and Brad, I think I may have told you the story before. It's really cool, but Ian, I'm going to take the time to tell it because Ian, you'll appreciate it as a Man U fan.
That's true. I will.
So we were visiting. So all of basically a lot of Trevor's family, they live in the north of England, right? So outside of Manchester, Wigan, a little town called Eccleston. So we were visiting family. We were doing, I think, like a wedding or something. We were there for that. And so Man U was playing that night, and we were talking and we were joking maybe we'll get a ticket. And it's like, there was no way we're going to get a ticket. The shit sold out. It's 85,000 people in that place. And so we went to go see Mr. Ellis's friend. He used to be a trainer. Mm-hmm. So we went to go visit him, and we're hanging out, and they're just catching up. They haven't seen each other in so many years. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ellis, his name is David. David says to him, he goes, "Hey, any chance we get some tickets for tonight's game?" And I thought he was still kidding. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Yeah, probably, maybe." And I was like, "Get out of here!" Like, I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. At this point, Manu had already clinched the cup. They were playing Charlton Athletic, and the guy got on the phone, and I was like, "Doc," I called Mr. Ellis. I go, "Doc, there's no way that this is going to happen, right?" Uh-huh. And the guy is on the phone, and he's like, "Hey, Paul, any chance for some tickets for tonight?" Yeah, for three tickets.
Okay, cheers. English accent's horrible.
He goes. He's like, "Dude, I'm trying to tell a story, Princeton." He goes.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you think it's bad over the phone? He's sitting right across from it.
He's front row.
Jesus Christ!
And he's like, "All right." He's like, "Cheers, mate." Hangs up the phone, and I go, "Who's Paul?" It's Paul Scholes.
Oh, he called Scholes?
He called Scholes.
Oh, shit.
We got three tickets, Ian. We were probably six.
Doc Ellis
six,
had the plug.
Dude. I mean, it was like the biggest sort of display of juice I've ever seen pull.
Oh,
we were, no joke, bro, we were probably like four or five rows off the pitch. Uh-huh. Like I said, they had already clinched the cup. Van Nistelrooy had a hat trick. Beckham was still playing for Man U at the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dude, I got goosebumps telling it. I've never been in a stadium that had 80,000 people in unison singing the same songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was such almost like a spiritual experience. It was beyond sport.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Okay. By the way, everybody, every listener that's been following this podcast for 4 years is fucking dying laughing right now. The fact that, listen to me, Ian, I don't know if you're familiar with Pete and his fucking life. Like, for instance, when Donald Trump's scandal broke out with Stormy Daniels, Pete made the wire because he was with Stormy Daniels.
Oh, shit.
I was with her in 2006. It wasn't like
Miley Cyrus thing with the fucking teddy bear.
Yeah,
he knew the teddy bear. Okay, and now he's getting tickets from fucking one of the Beatles.
I know this guy is like this. He's Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
he's just been everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time the shit went down, this motherfucker was there.
But it was it was an unbelievable experience going to Old Trafford, man. That was unbelievable seeing that game.
The way I got to Old Trafford was I did a show in, I forgot what part of England, right? But in the audience was Rio Ferdinand. He was a defender.
Yeah.
Played for England. We all took photos. He loved the show. And my homeboy promoted the show, and he's there with his other friend. And he was like, "Hit me up, I get you guys tickets for a game." And I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." And it was New Year's Day. There was a game. We played Sunderland. And I say we because I mean we.
Yeah.
And,
I got you, buddy.
You feel me? You feel me, Brett?
I said that with the Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. The only right way to say it. We got our tickets, went, sat in these stands, and we just had this. We went down 1-0, and true, it's almost they did it for you. Like, oh, it's your first time to Old Trafford. We're going to win this the way you've seen us win this shit on TV. We go down 1, second half, come out, win 2-1. And then afterwards, they gave us tickets to, I don't know if they call it the Players Club, but we go down, and then, where all the players and their families meet after the game, after the shower. So then I met Van Nistelrooy, got pictures with him. Scholes was my favorite player at the time, and Rio, and met Beckham, got a picture with Beckham.
That's amazing.
And got to walk out on the field afterwards and walk out the tunnel a little bit and see the field and take pictures on it. It was just like,
that's
dope.
Special,
the
man.
After the game was even, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing, dude. That's just really
dude, what
cool.
Do you guys think, where do you think soccer was invented?
In England.
In England, really?
Yeah.
What do you think, Pete? What do you think, Pete?
I really don't know. I mean, I would believe England. Yeah. Is that true, though, Ian?
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. Google it.
Yeah, I'm going to...
I'm looking right now. Soccer goes back to 2500 fucking B.C., okay?
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, the Greeks, Egyptians, and Chinese all appeared to have partaken in games involving the ball and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they were crediting the Chinese for it.
Oh, yeah? Well, they suck at it.
Now, the modern era, yeah, from the medieval period.
The men
soccer
do
began to evolve in modern Europe from the medieval period.
Uh-huh.
And around the 9th century, England would kick a pig's bladder from one landmark to another. So
well, England,
modern football is probably from England itself.
Well, England took gunpowder from China, right?
Yeah.
They took their fireworks.
They took a lot of shit.
So they might have took soccer.
Them.
Yeah, they might have took football.
Man, so what did you say? It was a pig's bladder getting kicked from landmark to landmark?
I mean,
that's we've come a long way.
They're saying that the Greeks, the Chinese, and the Egyptians all had to game with feet and balls, but Britain is the home of soccer today. From the medieval period onwards, I mean, Jesus Christ, this game's been going on since the fucking 9th century.
Yeah,
yeah man.
Ian, did you play soccer growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Played in the schoolyard.
Yeah. Do you still mess around with the ball now?
No, not really. I've played so much. Like, on the way up here, I passed Chandler. I don't know if it's an elementary school or whatever. And all the memories flooded back of Sunday and Wednesday and Saturday going to that field with a bunch of players and climbing the fence of the school and playing until we got kicked off like we were kids. And that's, and that's like in my, you know, 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over there.
When you see, I mean, and that's the thing. Soccer is one of those sports where, because I used to do the same thing, but like they have like, you know, the over 30 league, over 40 league, mm-hmm. there's over 50 leagues. It never leaves. The skill doesn't leave you. You know, you're gonna get older. Your physical body's gonna change. But man, you see guys that can still dribble and still shoot. You know,
just for a shorter amount of time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They need to take a cricket break.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's what sucks about playing American football, man. It's done early and you're done forever.
You can
never play that game again. It's just too violent.
Yeah.
There's no way to you can play flag football, but just not. There's just hardly any fun ways to play American football after you're done.
So, dude, let's get into this list.
Yeah.
I wanted to rank the top 10.
All right, go ahead.
What were you saying?
I would say let's make it a top 10 list of my favorite players.
Okay, I like
that. Let's do that.
Okay, yeah. I like that. I like that.
I want to add something to this, Pete. I want to add something. First of all, I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to add that the Dallas Cowboys surpassed Manchester United as the most lucrative franchise in all of sports.
When did that come out?
It went for the past few years.
No.
It doesn't seem real.
Yeah, everything
that doesn't seem right.
It keeps changing. But I know you're a Dallas fan, so you're gonna only remember the last time Dallas was. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been like for a brief period.
Mm-hmm.
When there was, sort of
Manchester?
No, I mean Manchester United.
Manchester or Real Madrid might be. Look it up.
I'm looking right now. Most lucrative franchise. Dallas Cowboys, number one. Manchester United, number two.
What year?
Real Madrid, number three. Barcelona, number four. York Yankees, number five.
What year? When you
This is from 2018.
Wow.
Well, we're halfway through 2019. But that might be accurate.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty. I mean, that's a little. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Those are all big.
I guess you don't have to win to be at the top.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys passed Manchester United 5 years ago.
So what?
For the past 5 years. The past 5 years, the Dallas Cowboys have been the number one franchise.
You know what's crazy about that? Manchester United hasn't won the league in 6 years, and Dallas hasn't won the NFL Championship Super Bowl in even longer. I guess you don't have to win to be at the top.
Right.
Yeah. 20 years. 20 years. It's been almost 20 years.
That's 20 years, dog. Damn.
That's insane.
Yeah, 1996.
Time flies even when you're not having fun. Jesus.
Isn't that nuts, man? That shit seems like yesterday.
I know, right?
Like, fucking 20 years ago.
Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders and Troy Aikman, that was 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
Dude, time.
Yeah.
Time is real.
Yeah, it is.
And it passes.
Yeah.
But the difference is, though, really quick, the differences are not much. Like, Dallas is worth $4.8 billion. Mm-hmm. Manchester's 4.1. Mm-hmm. Real Madrid's 4.088.
Yeah.
Barcelona's 4.0. They're all over $4 billion. They're all
billion, right?
Billion with a B, yeah. That's pretty, that's pretty impressive.
What do they say I'm ranked down that list? just keep
right
going
now,
down.
You're worth a fucking pack of now and later. And about a $15.
So I went up.
$15 spot in the
Oh, my price went up. That's good. That's good. That's cool.
Actually, before we talk about your favorite players, are there any teams, you know, and football clubs or, you know, matches that you, whether it's in the Premiership or not, that you also like watching, you know, as a fan of soccer?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
As a fan of soccer. So these are what's the word? I am going to say some blasphemous names right now.
Okay.
But I enjoy watching Man City play.
Yes.
It's a direct rival. I enjoy seeing Liverpool play. Spurs,
yep.
And Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are, I mean, those right there, I mean, you pretty much named, those are, I think, the most popular teams in.
Yeah,
in,
that's the top six.
Yeah, in the Premiership.
The top six and who they play, so I can get it gives me a good grasp of, like, the rest of the league, the whole
right.
league, yeah.
Right.
Because everybody plays everybody.
Brett, have you ever watched?
Hey, I have a question for, so who's like the Cleveland Browns of the Premier League?
That's the thing. They don't last because then they end up
in the lower division.
So there's teams that are definitely down the bottom a lot, but at some point, if they have a slip up 1 year, you end up through the trap door.
Yeah.
And you have to come back up.
Didn't Tottenham get dropped down like at once? I mean, that happened, I think.
Not recently, though.
And, dude, what's so interesting, Brett, about that setup is it keeps you interested in watching these games. When you watch these bottom-feeding people in those lower spots, they need to play to stay in the league. So even if they're having a terrible season or whatever, you're watching to see if they can stay.
They can't just, like, phone in the season to get a draft pick.
Right.
Because you're going to lose money. Because the league below doesn't pay as much.
Oh, I got you. That's great.
So
man.
You have
every game counts.
Every game counts. Like, you're going to lose. If you're in the Premiership, your team is going to get $100 million in TV rights and up. And the higher you finish in the league, the more you get. So you want to keep getting that money. The eyes of the world are on the Premiership, even if you're a shitty team.
Right.
So you want to finish.
Well, you know what's crazy, though, and correct
least.
Me if I'm wrong, but, like, isn't Manchester United got, like, 17 fucking wins, and then, like, Chelsea is the next one with, like, 4. It's, like, that big a difference, right? I mean,
yeah,
something
like that. I can't remember what it is. Like, well, we have, like, 13 or 14 or something like that. I gotta look.
Well, I'm going to look it up.
That's a dominant-ass team right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not dominant right now.
Right.
Man City got 4 now.
Manchester United has 13 wins.
Yeah.
Chelsea has 5.
Right, and Manchester got 4.
Manchester City has 4.
Yeah.
Arsenal 3, Blackburn Rovers 1, and I can't pronounce
it. Leicester? Leicester got 1.
Leicester.
In 2016, they got 1.
Leicester City.
Yeah, Leicester City, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the wins by the clubs.
Yeah, because they used to just call it it just used to be like, what the fuck they used to call it? Then they rebranded the first division, the Premiership.
Right.
So that's only been that amount of years old.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Manchester City, was that the team that lost their owner to a helicopter crash?
No, that was Leicester.
That was Leicester. Yeah. What a sad tale that was.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, dude, let's talk about your favorite soccer players of all time, and we'll see if Brett and I even know anything here.
Yeah, you can put them in order. So.
This
could be no particular order.
I got one.
Can I guess your one?
Sure.
Pele?
Nope.
He took a long time to say.
Yeah.
It might be Baggio.
Nope.
All right.
Oh. Dude, Roberto Baggio.
He was the goalie. You ever see the movie Victory?
Tony Meola? Who are you talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Sylvester Stallone?
He was the goalie for the fucking...
Sylvester Stallone getting real trophies for shit that he didn't do in real life. Got a statue as being the greatest boxer Philly ever produced.
Right.
And now he's the greatest goalkeeper Brett has ever seen. And
played with the POWs against the Nazis. He had to play goal so they can sneak out and get the information.
So did Pele. And he's a real player.
Rocky and an actor. Cold War, and Sylvester Stallone got the information out so we could reoccupy Europe and end World War II. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
you mentioned Pele. That was your guess that he was going to say. Would Pele be on your list?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, he was like an ambassador. I mean, he was beyond just a great soccer player.
Yeah, yeah. He was as famous as Muhammad Ali.
He was like the first one, wasn't he?
He was the first major soccer star, I would say.
So do you want me to put this in no particular order?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, I'm going to put Pele near the front and near the top. It just sounds great.
You can't.
He's got to be number one. He's got to be number one.
I say he's number one, but there's arguments. It's like that argument before, what's the name of the quarterback in New England? Before him.
Tom Brady.
Before Tom Brady, to me, Montana was the best quarterback. But then people would say Elway.
Don't worry about it.
People would say it's Elway, but you heard the Elway. And I was like, nah, this guy won four. And Elway won two and lost how many?
Yeah.
But people say Elway was better.
He lost. Yeah, but he. It's a different game. But compare like Pele?
No. But the comparison I'm making is this.
Wait, Maradona and Messi are like Elway, Montana, and Brady?
Yeah, because the comparison, like Pele won three World Cups. Maradona won one, but they still want to say in a John Elway way that he was better than Pele. And I'm like, no, Pele won three. You feel me?
Right.
And I would have never said Elway was better than Montana because Montana won more.
Right.
You know, so I was like, no. But people do that. So
But it's hard to do that in team sports. In team sports, you have to really be a fan of the sport to know who's really good other than outside of what the TV tells you and how many championships they have.
So I'm going on like seeing these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you could tell if somebody really has the quality or not. You know what I mean? So Maradona is on the list.
He's got to be, right?
He's on the list. Yeah. Yep. Messi is on the list. Another Argentinian.
Yep.
He's really Italian, but go ahead.
He's still hilarious.
Dude, Roberto Baggio, wasn't he the one that he skied that fucking, was it like a penalty shot in the World Cup for Italy?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
In the final against Brazil, yeah. But he still was good.
I know.
Yeah. It's just not going to be perfect at all the right moments.
What do you think about the PKs?
Alfredo Di Stefano. How about him?
Yeah, but that was before my time. I never saw him play.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He looks like he's from a different world.
He played for Real Madrid, right?
Yeah, well, I think he was Argentinian too, but he's also Italian.
Right.
But go ahead.
But yeah, so I can't rank him because I just hear the legend of him, but that shit was in black and white.
Yeah. What about Beckenbauer?
Well, I'm trying to give us clues to how old you are.
It's hilarious. But I never saw him play, so that's even way before my time. Yeah.
But like Beckenbauer, you've seen.
Or maybe I did see him play and I'm just lying.
But Beckenbauer would be on the list, wouldn't you say, Ian?
Beckenbauer?
Yeah, Beckenbauer.
Yeah, Beckenbauer would be on the list, but I'd also put Ronaldinho.
Yep. Ronaldinho. So tell me a little bit about Ronaldinho.
He was just like, for like a 3-4 year period, just the best player in the world. He played with Messi. He was a little older than Messi. He played for Barcelona.
Yeah.
And he just had everything. If I wanted to be a player, I would be that motherfucker. He had speed, like a skill, technical level above everybody, and just an enjoyment for the game. He was Brazilian, so he'd samba motherfuckers right in the middle of the field. And he just did things that were incredible. But he burned out fast because he partied a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He partied a lot.
He was doing a lot of...
But he was World Player of the Year at least twice.
Yeah.
You know, and he's won the World Cup. I think he won two World Cups. He was on the bench for the one that was in America, and he won one
Yeah,
you know, helped Ronaldo. And there's two Ronaldos. I put the both Ronaldos on that list.
Both Ronaldos on that, because I was going to ask you about that.
The Brazilian Ronaldo and the Portuguese Ronaldo.
Those Ronaldos get me confused, kind of like the Darren's from Bewitched. And
well, one looks perfect. Hilarious. The Darren's from Bewitched. Or the two Lionels from the Jeffersons.
Yeah, the two Lionels threw me off, too.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a better one.
Yeah.
Dude, Ronaldinho, this photo on Google looks like the fucking Predator.
Ronaldinho, yeah. He would be in front of the goal.
Yeah. Are any goalies on your list?
No. No, bro. Rocky has no... Sylvester Stallone does not have a chance to make my list. Huh? Cafu?
Yeah,
Cafu was good, but there'd still be some people ahead of him, but he was fucking good.
Trying to think who I used to...
Zidane would be on the list.
Zidane.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're putting
Zidane.
Him on.
Yeah, Zidane. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah. French master.
Yep.
You know, just kill it. Johan Cruyff.
Cruyff?
Yeah.
Now, what's Johan Cruyff's deal?
Not only was he a great Dutch player, and I think he went to the World Cup finals, but it might have lost to Germany. And there's no Germans on the list, and there's a lot of great German players like... Well, Beckenbauer's on there, but there's another one. But he also was a coach.
Yeah.
And the system that made Barcelona great, like now, he kind of created that in their youth system. And Pep Guardiola, who took Barcelona to the next level coaching-wise with Messi... And he was so cold-blooded, he got rid of Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
You know, that's all Cruyff. Total football from Holland. Just a style of total football.
Because I was looking at his name. I'm like, that name looks so familiar to me.
Yeah,
isn't there a move that named after him?
Yeah, there
like
is a
you
move.
Like you kind of step over the ball and then go. It's like
there is a move.
Yeah, there's yeah, like yeah. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's when there's a move
did
named
you say
after
Maldini?
Now, I love Maldini, but he's not on my list. I don't think there's any defenders on my list. But Maldini was...
He was fucking
amazing. Huh? Platini?
What about Platini?
You know what? He could be on the list. He could
he's
be on the list.
Looking
I'm not going to put him on my
any
list.
Any sort of Italian-sounding type person. What about Scalacci?
You know what? Brett is on the fucking computer.
Yeah, yeah. He's just...
Brett, I'm like, man, I'm going... Listen, dude, I told you, man. I'm not a big soccer
right,
fan.
Right, right.
There's certain names I know, man.
No, but there's for a second that you was blowing my mind. I was like, wait a minute, he might be on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about some of your Man U guys? What about Scholes? Is he on your list?
But there was still better players than him. Like, the two... I'm going to tell you now, Xavi for Barcelona and Iniesta. Like, those guys was like having... Imagine having two Zidanes on your team at the same time.
And so, would you say their name is Xavi?
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's his background?
Came up through the Barcelona youth system, coached by under the style of of Cruyff through people like Pep and other coaches. That there's a famous soccer school called La Masia, and Messi came through there, Iniesta came through there, Xavi, and a bunch of like other great Barcelona players that. Ended up being starters for decades, at least for years, and they won Champions League, they won La Liga, they just won everything, man. It just like...
And who was the other guy that you mentioned with Xavi?
Iniesta.
Iniesta.
And Iniesta played... Both Xavi and Iniesta played for Spain. They played for Barcelona, and they played for Spain, and they won the World Cup with Spain. And Iniesta... They went to the finals... With Spain against Holland, and Iniesta, they had the golden goal when you go into overtime.
Yep.
Iniesta scored the goal that won Spain the World Cup.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I mean.
Dude, I could tell you where I could tell you exactly where I was when Italy won in 06.
I know you could.
And, and no, because we were in Atlantic City, man. Uh-huh. And when Zidane headbutted Materazzi, man. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he called his mother a fucking animal or some shit.
Yeah, apparently Materazzi has been taking your mother joke lessons from you, or you text him some of your mother jokes, and he used one of them on Zidane, so you helped Italy win the World Cup. Congratulations, Brent.
Hey, dude, I'm done. I got 1% left. I gotta fuck.
No, but this is just this is just my favorite list.
Yeah, yeah, we're just we're wrapping up anyway, pal. I love that you have one job is just call in and you can't even do that.
It's hilarious.
No, no.
It's hilarious.
We're in a studio. Aaron's fucking engineering. We got three cameras. Yeah. Where we have to drive here.
Yeah.
You can't fucking charge your phone before you make a phone call.
Hold on, man.
I like that he was just about to punch out. When I was a kid, though, some of the most popular players, because I remember, I mean, we would play soccer, and then we would get Eurosport, you know, it was like a catalog that you get all your gear from. Rude Gullit.
Gullit was nice.
You know, and then I'm trying to think who... Who else was? Because there were like some Netherlands like people that were on point.
Amazing. Clarence Seedorf is one of my favorite players. Yeah. You know, and that guy's so fucking amazing.
What was the name of the guy he played? God, I think he was from England or France. Then he's the one that started the professional league here in the States.
Hmm.
He was a white guy. Was he from England?
He was a player.
He started professional soccer for the Cosmos. When he started the Cosmos.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I thought you were talking about MLS.
I saw a documentary on this guy.
Oh, right.
It's a pretty amazing story. And he paid Pele. He paid Pele like $1 million
to play
professional soccer, and it just failed. Hold on, let me check.
Yeah. Have you gone to?
That's
a good segue because I wanted to ask you if you've gone to any MLS games and what your thoughts are on the efforts. Because I lived in D.C. when they started, and I remember like Echeverry,
you guys won like four in a row.
Yeah. And I'd gone to some games at the time. It was at RFK Stadium. I don't even know if that place is still built anymore. I think they might have demolished it. I don't know, but. Echeverry, they had like some players. But
is it Marco Echeverry?
Marco Echeverry, yeah. And it obviously had a big Latin draw, you know. And I think that was that was sort of like their plan in the beginning when they started the MLS is sort of really try to pitch to because the
people that they know were into soccer
exactly. Yeah. And what was so cool though, Ian, was like going to the first season of DC United and seeing people. There were fans, but like of a team that has just existed. Like today's the first day that they're here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they were like,
but they showed up with the cape with the flag on it and whatever. It's like they came to be fans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something, man. Soccer is home.
Right.
And if you've been away from home, you could be away from home for a long time. If you're from a foreign country or you're just a fan of something that nobody's ever talking about. But when you see home, you know it.
Right.
So, like, when a stadium appears and a team appears, you're like, oh, shit, this feels, like, familiar. This feels like home. People are always excited to be home. That's the same thing that's happening right now with LAFC. It's in downtown over by USC. And when you go to that stadium, they're in the middle of their second year. And most of all their games are sold out and packed.
Yeah.
They have a cheering section. There's a well-run organization. They have their own identity, style of play. Good coach, good players, hardworking.
So do you make it to those games, the LAFC?
Yeah. There's a guy.
I heard that facility is beautiful.
The facility is beautiful. I've been to that
facility. Really quick, I remember this, okay? This is what I was remembering. they used to play in Giant Stadium, okay? So this is who they signed. They had Pele, right? They had Chinigalia.
Uh-huh.
And Beckenbauer played for them too.
Yeah.
So this is what the Cosmos. Yeah.
Yeah. It was huge. It was huge. But it didn't last. It wasn't sustainable financially.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think.
Well, they said once Pele retired, the fucking attendance fell.
Oh shit! Yeah.
So is the LAFC?
That's why he's got to be number one, man. Because he had the Pele soccer for video game for Atari.
Uh-huh.
I just remember as a kid. I mean, he was the first real.
No, he was larger than life.
Man. I mean,
yeah.
He carried that whole league.
Well, I'm just too young to remember all that, but I'm glad you do. Let me tell you something. I don't know why everybody's laughing. This is so disrespectful.
I gotta go, man. I'm gonna lose you. I'm beeping.
All right, dude. Hey, Brad. All right, fam. Yeah.
All right, listen.
Thanks.
Ian, I love you, man.
Love you too,
dude,
brother.
Before I go, check out the special. Dude, we're going to promote the fuck out of it
please.
For you.
Yeah, man.
You're literally not only one of my favorite people, but arguably top five out right now, man.
Oh, shit. Thanks.
I agree.
So I'm really excited. I'm really excited for people to see your work, dude.
All right, dope. Me too, man. Thanks. I appreciate it, brother.
Later, right, Brett.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
make sure you call your mom.
Yeah, just fucking idiot. I just love. It's like he could not charge his cell phone. Brett, are you still there?
Dude, no. You know what it is that the
you knew you had a podcast.
Yeah, yo. By the way, you're at home. Get it. Just plug in the charger. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. All right, punch out.
You know
buddy.
He has to walk and talk.
Yeah,
and move his hands.
He can't be. He can't
stand still.
You can't have him bound to the wall like that.
Yeah. He has used one hand to cover his mouth so the feds can't see copies. Where even though he's on the phone, like
Aaron, this is like the fourth time you've seen this kid punch out of his own podcast, and it's like insane. It's insane. I mean, I don't know.
That's not even the record. Sam, yeah. Sam Tripoli holds the record for storming out of his own podcast.
After doing it by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got angry at himself.
So, dude, before we wrap this up, Ian, I just want to ask you. So the LAFC, is that part of the MLS?
Yeah, part of MLS.
It is, right? Because I'd done something down there, and I was like right next to the stadium, and it was an event for their fans at this like beer garden or something, and it was that same sort of vibe that I was telling you about, like when I was in DC for watching that begin.
Right.
These guys were like, they all had their jerseys on, and they were like, they were fanatics and fun.
Right.
And again, I didn't go inside that facility, but I saw it, and I was like, dude, that looks beautiful.
You got to get down there, bro.
Yeah. Did you do the season tickets or anything like that?
Nah, but I have a...
You got a hook?
I got a hookup, and, you know, I go to some games, and...
I got to tell you this, pal. With your podcast, you should get a media...
I know. I should apply for that,
dude. It's so easy. My buddy has a Clippers podcast, and it's called Clipcast.
Yeah,
and it's my buddy Chris Wilde and this guy Mike Jaglin, and they're just big fans of the Clippers.
I know Mike.
You know Mike Jaglin? Yeah.
I run into him at LAFC games.
Yeah, so they have, dude, they do the interviews with the players afterwards, and it's great. It would be great content for the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
It's something you should really look at. You should ask Mike how, because it's very simple to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, here's my podcast. And then, you know, now it's like one of the official podcasts of the Clippers. So, well, buddy, thank you for coming in here. I just got to tell you this, though, dude. I have 9 on this list that we named. And then you said Xavi and then
Iniesta.
So, I mean, am I going to group those two together just to make it happy? Everyone
happy? It's an interchangeable list. Like, it's some of these players are from the modern game and some of them are from the...
We could just take Beckenbauer off, right?
Yeah, you could do that.
Come on.
For Xavi and Iniesta, it's not that blasphemous.
We're not. Exactly. Well, guys, Ian's got the Ian Talk. It's going to be dropping July 12th. Very, very excited for you, man. You're going to hear more about that when it drops. I think it's going to make a lot of noise, and you deserve it, dude.
All right, thanks, man.
And then also, don't forget the Soccer Comic Podcast. Where do we find you on social media, bud?
All things comedy. I mean, social media personally, at Ian Edwards Comic on Instagram and on Twitter.
Awesome.
And IanEdwardsComedian.com.
Okay. Ian Edwards, top 10 favorite footballers. Can I say footballers?
Yeah.
Footballers of all time. We got Xavi. We got Iniesta. We got Johan Cruyff. We got Zidane. We got Ronaldo. We got Ronaldo. We got Ronaldini. Wait, what is it?
Ronaldinho.
Yeah, Ronaldinho. See, it's Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Messi, Diego Maradona, and of course, the great Pele. Buddy, thank you so much for coming here. Are you going to be anywhere next week?
Where am I going to be next week?
Yeah, let's check that out. I'm going to be at the Ice House this weekend, but this podcast is coming out after the weekend. So fuck you for not coming, and thank you for coming if you did come. You guys were a great crowd. Ian, where are you going to be?
Well, it's not next week, but I'll be at the Ohio Funny Bone July 18th through the 21st.
Awesome. Yeah. We have some very faithful Ohioan listeners.
Oh, dope.
Ohioan.
I might run into Brett there.
Yeah, you might see Brett. You know, who knows? And, you know, maybe he'll charge his cell phone. Guys, make sure you follow us at YOTL Podcast on Instagram, on Twitter. And, be sure to call your mom. We love you. Thanks for being here, kids.